Tonight I wanted us to look at God and Him sending His glory light, who is Jesus, for our dark days. So often we forget that Jesus is the one who brings light to our hurt, meaning that He will shine a light on that which is bad for us in life, but He will also be there for us because, listen, folks, many situations we see ourselves as in darkness. People in severe pain, people in severe brokenness, psychologically and all, they're caught up in a darkness that we don't understand. And Jesus says, I am the glory light, and I'm your glory light for the dark days that you're going to have. Any of us who have lived any time at all understand the darkness of life. We understand the hurt that we go through. It is a time when we're looking to our children, we're looking to our parents, we're looking to our loved ones, and we see them hurting, or we see the situation going on in their life, and then we get pulled into that darkness. And we get pulled into the darkness because we within our heart are wanting to be able to help them back to the light. Well, let me have us think about it this way. Instead of you and I picturing ourselves going in to pick them up and taking them back out to the light, let us pray and let us walk in with the light, who is Jesus Christ, and we are walking in His light and with Him as the light, and their hope will be there. I've said many times over the years, because I dealt with so many that were suicidal. Today, we know that 22 veterans commit suicide every day. Every day, 22 veterans commit suicide. And I've said many times after my years of dealing with these personalities, give me 3 minutes with a person getting ready to commit suicide, and 99% chance they'll never attempt it again. If you can pull through in that short period of time, if you can talk them down, people say, well, why are you going to try to talk them out of it? They'll just do it anyway. That's not true. Been around too many. If you can reach them in time and then they see hope, that hope then will grow within their life. And in many cases, you know, the situation in their life is still the same. It's still bad. But the way they see that situation has changed. So it's an idea of always offering hope. Look at the ones that we know ourselves, of the young boys, the young girls that are committing suicide. Why is Kentucky number one in teen suicide? We're so number one in all of the bad vices and all. But what causes a human being to take their life? Those who've been on the battlefield, those who have been on fire, when I'm talking about in the tank and getting caught on fire yourself, that you talk about the burning hell, I can only imagine. I've never experienced that. Bob can tell us about that, but it's you feel that. And so often I listen to him. I remember when the white phosphorus, so Willie Peter bombs would go off and it hit the flesh and you can't stop it. And it burns right through the flesh, and listening to the cries that were going out from an individual. Can Christ show us the light there? Yes. We got the pain. You see the hurt. You see the aftermath. Is there ever a time, Bob, that you don't think about, or you can't remember the pain during that time?
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
But I don't dream about being hit.
Right. And that's the difference between one that's completely stepped over the line to psychosis and one who is still on the other side of it. I would ask a question. Did I ever have now any in combat? Did I ever picture anybody that was killed in combat? Friends, or they're all our friends, as we know. on our side. And I looked, this was a young woman, and I looked at her and I said, young lady, you've never been in combat, have you? And she said, no, sir. And I said, when you pick up body parts and you pick up a friend or a serviceman's head that's not detached, yeah, you'll see that for the rest of your life. Now, if that's crazy, I'm crazy. But too many people want to deal with those of Brett will deal with this for the rest of his life. There will always be something, but it'll be something he can't talk about with you all. He'll have to talk about it with others who have been there. But we need to understand that, and need to understand that the only hope we have is that light, who is Christ. Will we see the visions? Sure, we're going to see the visions. But the visions no longer stay there, meaning it's not, as Bob was saying, it's not continual all the time. When it's continual all the time, we got a problem, a big time problem. So Jesus wants to do four things in our life to dispel the darkness. So here they are, and I promise you this is what he wants to do. When Jesus wants to do something in our life, if we will open our heart to allow him to do that something in our life, he will. But Jesus does not force himself on us. He does not force himself on us. He offers, here am I, do you want me to help you? Here I am, Larry, do you want me to help you? Of course, as you grow in Christ over the years, he doesn't even have to ask anymore. We're crying out to him that, yes, we do want that help. Number one, he will encourage us when we're disappointed. Now, life is made up of disappointments. One disappointment right after the other. And if you're a pessimist, you will understand that, as soon as you start feeling good from one disappointment, you can't feel good long because you're just waiting for the next disappointment's getting ready to hit you. So that's the way a lot of Christians act sometimes about their relationship with Christ or their commitment to Christ. Well, if Jesus will treat me right, I don't know, Chaplain Vance, I just don't go to church anymore because this happened to a member of my family and I asked God not to let it happen and he let it happen anyway, so I'm just mad at God. And my statement was, well, good, I'm glad you don't come to church because all you'll be doing is disheartening everybody around you. Now, if you want to work through this, I'll be more than glad to work with you through it. But you're right. If you're going to go in with a pity party, you're never going to make it. That's the Marine Corps part of me. That was not the pastoral part. You all caught that, didn't you? But why? Why do people hang on to that hurts us? Why do people get up every morning and it seems like it's the same hurt or anger within their heart? They never get over it. They never get over it. It's not God's problem. They never get over it because of their own problem. Christ is wanting to help us through it, but we want to keep reliving it. And we've talked many times in here about some people just love being miserable. Some people just love to be miserable. I know that because they're miserable all the time. Doesn't matter. Okay, Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. Now, wouldn't that be a light for us? The scripture says the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He sees those who have lost all hope. Now, if we know that the Lord is watching after us and he sees us, even to the depth of seeing our heart, our spirit, that we have lost hope, then he's seeing it and telling us he's seeing it for a reason. He wants us to do something about it. Turn it over to him. Let him handle it. He encourages us by helping us realize he has a design, a plan, a purpose for our life. God has a design, a plan, and a purpose for every life that's existing. How do I know that? The life would not exist without the plan, the purpose for God. God is the creator. So there is a divine plan for our life. Now, does everyone who has a divine plan follow that divine plan? No. You've got people who are born are given an opportunity to accept Christ somewhere within their life. They come under conviction. despite what is being taught in some of our Baptist churches, you're not born to go to hell. Nor were you born to go to heaven without accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. That's not what is taught. I'm not going to teach this, so I'll give you all a little Bible trivia, because your man missed it. And I enjoy it when I get him to, when he can't figure it out like I have. Who was Jesus Christ personally? Who was his first Christian convert, or first convert to himself, to Christianity? Who was Jesus's first convert that we have recorded? Oh, yeah, you can give a name, sure. Give the name, or, yeah. Hey, girl. No, but there is a name that you will know well. His first convert. No, you're talking about disciples now. He was, yes. John the Baptist. Remember when it happened? When Mary went to her first to her aunt Elizabeth. And then Elizabeth says, the child in me leaped for joy for the. So that was Jesus leading John to him, and they're both unborn children. That says a lot against, abortion. It sure does. But anyway, yes. Oh, did he? Yeah. And it just give them the story of Mary and Elizabeth. But, I never seen that anywhere, and I thought I'd pull it and see if Randy could figure it out. So I'm glad I didn't. You didn't? I'll just lie to him. Yeah, I'll just lie to Randy and tell him that she got it. Yeah, absolutely. She told me to do that while I was teaching. Lie. Okay, he encouraged. There you go. God, the Lord then does encourage us, letting us realize that there is a design for our life. There's a plan for our life, a purpose for our life. Okay, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The plans I have for you, says the Lord, are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Now, for those with the theology that says, or where they say that God will punish you and bring evil things upon you because you're not following him. Gosh, there's whole groups that follow that. Listen to the scripture again. The plans I have for you, says the Lord, are plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. Everything God has planned for us is a positive plan. There is nothing negative whatsoever about the plan God has for every individual. God uses, though, disappointments to get our attention. Many people say, well, I wonder why that happened to me. I've heard this. And, I went to church all my life, every Sunday. I gave to the church. I did that. And then God let this happen to me. You all saw that sign in my office that says no whining. It breaks my heart, because people don't count their blessings. What do they count? They count everything but the blessing God has given us, and then blame everything on God. Even if God took my beloved from me, do we not understand that if that person's a Christian, that's the blessing that God has done? From it to save them from the hurt or pain, the scripture says that will come later. Number two, he will strengthen us when we're distressed. you find yourself getting distressed more nowadays, the older you get? She'd really watching me tonight, too, on the older part. But we get distressed. Good gracious, folks, we can barely handle it at a red light. We can barely handle it. You talk about getting distressed. You all will love this. I pulled into McDonald's the other day.
McDonald's?
Yep. Driving, I was on a health kick. I would get on the health kick, so I pulled in McDonald's, and it looked like this truck was about as big as mine, but he was stopped way back here. I thought he had backed out and was pulling out, so I whipped right around him and go up there. The next thing I saw was his door opening and him coming to my window. And what was funny about it, that's exactly what I'd done. I'd be dumb enough to do that too. And then I apologized. I said, "I'm sorry. I thought you." He said, "No, that's fine. I just wanted you to know." I said, "Nope." So I backed around, let him pull in front. So don't get distressed over all of this stuff, especially if it's a McMuffin. Leave it alone. Yeah, no reason to get shot at all over Egg McMuffin. Philippians 4:13. I have the strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. That's the Amplified version. And when we have strength in Christ, folks, knowing that as Christians, quit trying to think through it yourself. Don't attempt to think through it yourself. Allow the Lord. You know that when we're even brought up to the death panels or however they will do this, according to Scripture, I have no right to think about what I'm going to say before I get there. I am called before God, and God says, don't you even think about what you're going to say, because you're going to mess it up. You wait, and the Holy Spirit will give you my words at that time. Now, is that easy for a human being to do, is to wait upon the Lord? No. Well, Lord, let me give them a good tongue lashing. You can lead them to Jesus later. That's about the way we are. Okay, we can face it, but we cannot face it on our own. Many good young person has been pulled out of God's house because they've attempted to face the problems of life in a distressed situation on their own. Many times because they were embarrassed. Don't want anybody to know that, you know, this is going on in my family. Don't want anybody to know this. And yet we go through the distress, and it's sort of like the ideal when we said, Lord, why am I hurting so bad? And the voice comes back, is because you were too hard-headed to let the people come and share my word with you. That's why you have the problem. It's not God brings it on. We bring it on ourselves. Listen, folks, we are very strong-willed people in this church. Have you noticed that? Even our wives pack. I mean, he will strengthen us when we're distressed. Okay, listen to this. There are 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. The theme of Psalms in one sentence is, life is tough, but God is with us. If you put all the Psalms together. Now, here's you another little trivia. Yeah, I'm already giving you the answer to it. I see that right now. But every statement Jesus made on the cross was a quote from which book? Psalms. Yeah, sure was. David's Psalms, everything he said, he quoted Scripture. What he was doing is letting everybody know that the prophets told you all this was going to happen. Here I'm here. And so he's quoting Scripture at the very time he's on the cross to pull together the completion of Scripture itself. People say, well, you know, you'd have thought that Jesus would have quoted more from the New Testament. I got that one time. And, you know, I really, you've got to be kind, especially when they're young students of the Word. But, no, it's not anybody in our church now, but you think about that. And I kindly did. I explained it to him that, you know, Jesus is the New Testament. We had to wait. You all remember the closest that we have to the time that Jesus walked of the scriptures? Gosh, I'm getting in over my head there myself. I believe it was within 75 to 100 years before all of this is written down for us to have it. It's telling the story. Them taking it back, Gospel of, it is Mark. I'm over my head. Let me back off. Anyway, they're one of the books you'll see the other Gospels are copying after that except for the Gospel of John. And it was all of them back and forth. And we take it as one's looking at it from behind a tree, the other from different places. Okay. Even though I go through the deepest darkness, Psalm 23:4, I will not be afraid, Lord. Why? For you are with me. It is not that the human fear doesn't come. You all have heard me say, well, after almost 20 years here, I'm sure you have, but you've heard me say many times, folks, I do not fear it until it comes to that time, because here's what I need to look at, and you all also. I can say that now, and I can say it with all faith, and I'm not worried about it. But evidently, because of the human condition, that there is a natural fear that will jump in of the unknown, even though you know spiritually. Now, how do I know that? Jesus in the garden the night before his crucifixion. You know, now you talk about in agony when great drops of blood are coming from him as sweat. And then he's saying to his father, if there's another way, you know, it's a good time to take it. That's a paraphrase. But then he goes on, though, in the same statement and says, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. As soon as he said that, the fear was gone. And at that point, you will see from the human agony. Let's do it, agony, instead of the fear with him. The agony was gone. Well, what had he done? He had conquered that fear for us. Now, since I've said that, think of it this way. If we do have that faith, as far as stepping over into the promised land or stepping, passing on to be with the Lord, is because Jesus conquered that fear, is it possible for the human being today to actually not have that total fear like Jesus had? Believing in the power of Christ, sure, it can happen. I guarantee it won't happen with many. But it does, and that doesn't keep the one who has the fear from going to heaven either. A lot of power in Jesus. Okay, number three, he will guide us when we're doubtful. That's when we're confused, when we don't know which way to go. Man, we got a lot of confused people in our generation, don't we? John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, so if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. That's the Living Translation. When we face doubts, God's Word is a reliable source that will always give us the right advice and never steer us in the wrong direction. When people use the Word of God to do harm to other people, that's not the Word of God. When they do it out of their own anger, when they do it out of revenge, that is not of God. I don't care what scripture they quote, it's not of God. Well, if God needs somebody zapped, he's quite capable to do the zapping himself. He doesn't need us doing it. We are not of the religion that kills other religions. We are of the faith and of the personal friendship with Jesus Christ that we will love. So the hate part, we can't get by with that. Look at number four. He will change us when we're depressed. Is there anybody that has never been depressed? Now, those of you out there listening and the one that just raised your hand, that's a lie. Now, you shame on you for doing that. I'm to the audience. And you'll always have some folk that will make that statement that they have never been depressed. That is a part of the human condition. That is a part of who we are in this human body. Now, Jesus was discouraged and depressed from the standpoint of the agony. He's taken the weight of the whole world of anybody that's ever been born, ever will be born, on his shoulder. Don't you think that that was pretty stressful? But he dealt with it. Okay. Do you know that when we get distressed, God doesn't want to just pat us on the back and say, cheer up. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate it when you're really down and you're hurting? Somebody said, well, you just need to cheer up and get over it. And the only thing that's going to cheer you up at that time is putting them out the door. Because it's not that easy. If you're that hurting, you can't just turn it off. You can't just, and Christ will work it through us. But no, you're not going to turn it off with your mind. He wants to change us. Don't try to drive out the darkness yourself. We've just got to turn on God's glory light. See Ephesians 5:13. That's the Phillips version. I use that, but I want to give you it because in this one, in this particular verse of the translation, it will show you one direction of light. Let me see it and do it. It is possible for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. Computer screens. The first one's out. Debbie's monitor, where she sees people who come in the church, turn the monitor off. Guess what? The door's still there. Nothing on. But that light had made the imprint of what it shined on that screen. And now we've got that woman talking and telling us where everybody is in the church. Have you all got to hear this and yet on our security? That is so cool, unless you're sitting there. And nobody's supposed to be in the church but you, and the doors are locked, and all of a sudden she comes on, and second floor, hallway. She got in the pantry today, and I'm sitting working at the desk, and says, pantry door is open. And I thought, good. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to get out while you can get out, folks. Gosh. That is real cool, though, it does it. But now, let me give you another way that this works. On Phillips' version, it is possible for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. I like that focus on light. And remember, every verse you'll find a lesson, multiple lessons within that very verse. I want you to listen to it another way, which is that everything that light focuses on, then that which was hiding in the darkness is seen. Let's do it that way. Got it? So when the light comes on, you see the evil that is out there. Then that's for that God gives us to see that which is evil. But for us, we should be the penetrating light that penetrates to the heart of another where they can see Jesus in you. That's turning the light on of Christ inside of us. Ephesians 5:9, the light produces in people all that is good and right and true. If you don't believe that, think about, everything is done behind closed doors. We got a government that does a lot of that. You think about that, and then comes out, and guess who gets surprised about what happened? It's everybody on the outside, but if the light was shined in soon enough and you would see the evil, well, sometimes I think we would take the evil, especially if we got something out of it. 1 John 2:8, the darkness in our lives disappears and the new light of life in Christ shines in. Remember, it's shining in. And remember again, Christ has told us to let our light shine, that translation means our light, meaning the Christ in us, that let him shine out of us. So instead of us saying, okay, Jesus, you back off. I'm going to show you how good I can do this on the light stuff. When we turn on God's glory light, he will use the disappointment, the distress, the doubts, and the depression to direct us toward a new, changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New attitudes, new thoughts, new approaches, and new choices. All we got to do is shine the light on.